here, worshiping together in the house of the Lord. We're going to be in the book of Judges this morning, chapter 6. We're going to talk about a man named Gideon and how he learned to trust the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, Gideon's listed among the heroes of faith. God used these individuals in this chapter greatly, but it wasn't because they were strong and without fault. It says in chapter 34 that their weaknesses were turned to strength, and Gideon's weaknesses were turned to strength. You see, God loves to use ordinary people like Gideon and do great things, do extraordinary things that are accomplished in His name. And that means He wants to use people just like you and me. He wants to use us every day to glorify Him. Let's look at Judges chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 1 and read through 10. It says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up. Also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.'" It was tough times for Israelites, and God uses tough times to get our attention. We find in chapter 6 that the nation of Israel, just as how they had in the past, had gotten prosperous, and then they turned their back on the Lord. That's what happened, because they would have a period when things were going good, life was good, and they began to believe that they were doing it on with their own power and not that of the Lord. They would think they could handle things on their own, and they would get complacent in their worship. And before long, they would turn their back on God, and God would allow the enemies to come in. And then the tough times came. Because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, they were handed over to the Midianites. Now, Midianites were extremely powerful people. They were nomadic, so they didn't farm. They didn't raise their own crops. But when the Israelites planted their crops and it come fruitful, time to harvest, they moved into the land. It said they come in like locusts. They were so numerous. And they took all that they wanted. And what they couldn't carry, they destroyed. It was so bad that the people of Israel, the Israelites, abandoned their homes and went up into the hills and lived in caves. They made strongholds because they were afraid of the Midianites. After 7 long years, the Israelites finally cried out to God. Now, it's beyond me. Why would they wait 7 years before they turned back to God, before the hard times became so overpowering that they'd learned they couldn't do it on their own? They'd look back to God as if they waited until they couldn't stand it any longer. But then I think, aren't we the same way today? Don't we wait and wait? We think we can handle it in our own power until finally we give up. We can't take it any longer, so we turn back to God and say, God, I lay this before you. And once again, we turn our worship to Him and away from ourselves. Charles Spurgeon said, "The Lord does not permit his children to sin successfully." I like that so well, I put that on my screensaver on my computer. Think about it. No matter how we're living our life, we're living our lives in sin. God is not going to allow us to be successful. No matter how good it feels right now, there'll come a day of reckoning when we'll have to answer to God for the sin that we're in. I love verse 7 because it says God responded. He sent an unnamed prophet to talk to them so they would hear his voice once again and maybe turn back to him. You see, God expects our surrender and our full devotion. If God doesn't have our full devotion, then we're living in sin. And that rebellion, that sin, will bring consequences. It did for Israel, and it does for us today. When tough times come, instead of looking to God, we look to ourselves. You see, God always sees more than we do. Let's look in Judges 6, 11 and 12. It said, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ezraite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" I'll stop and think about that minute. Here was Gideon. He was afraid of the Midianites, so afraid that he couldn't thresh wheat out in the open. Now, when you thresh wheat, you normally did it out in the open where you could throw it up in the air and let the wind carry the chaff away, and you would have the seed. But here was Gideon, the so-called mighty man of valor, hiding down in the wine press. The wine press were built with two cisterns, one to crush the grapes and one for the wine to run down into. And I see Gideon down there hunkered down in the cistern with his wheat, threshing his wheat so no one would see him. He didn't want the Midianites to know because he was afraid they'd come and take his grain. But here was an angel calling him a mighty man of valor. Gideon must have been a hero in hiding then, hiding down in the cistern. Verse 12 says that he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." You see, God always sees more in us than we see in ourselves. He saw in Gideon that warrior, that hero that he was going to be. And when he looks at us, he sees a hero in hiding. Because you see, we're more than we ever see ourselves to be. We're stronger than we think ourselves to be. But not because of our strength, but because of the strength that the Lord gives us when we serve him. He saw Gideon as how he was going to be, not how he was hunkered down in that wine press, hiding from his enemies. Gideon didn't understand who he was in God, and I believe a lot of us today don't understand either. We're mighty warriors. We have to understand who we are. If you're a born-again believer, you are God's child. That's John 1:12. You are God's friend. That's John 15:15. You've been chosen to bear fruit. That's John 15:16. You have been justified. That's Romans 5:1. You are free forever from condemnation. That's Romans 8:1. You will never be separated from the love of God. Romans 8:35. You belong to God. That's 1 Corinthians 6:20. You have been redeemed and forgiven. That's Colossians 1:14. And you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. And that's who you are in God. These promises have been made to you. And we have strength because of these promises. We need to grab a hold and hold on to them. If you want this list, see me after church and I'll give it to you. This ought to be pasted on your refrigerator so you can read it every day and have confidence in your service to the Lord. God knows who you are even if you don't. There's an inner strength that comes from the Spirit of God, and we forget to grab a hold of it. We forget to wrap ourselves up in it every day before we venture out into the workplace or into school or whatever else we do during our day. One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that God only uses special people. And that's half true, because God does use special people. But we're special because He uses us and not because of who we are. And God will confirm His priorities with His presence. Let's look at Judges 6:13 through 16. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our father told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." We'll stop right there for a minute. Gideon is talking to the Lord and asking why all these things have happened. He had blinders on to the fact that it was the Israelites' fault. They're the one that turned from God. God did not turn from them. And here Gideon is questioning why all this has happened to us. Well, the same thing is true in our lives, brothers and sisters. When things are going wrong in your life, when things aren't the way you think they should be, you need to look at yourself first. Because I guarantee God hasn't moved. He's right where He's always been. It's been you that's moved away from Him. Continue in 14. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" Verse 14 says God turned to him, and that literally is just what it means. God turned to him to speak to him. He said, "Go in the strength that you have and defeat the Midianites." Well, Gideon brought up the fact that they're in the weakest tribe, the weakest clan, and he is the weakest among them. And don't we always point that out to God? Well, who am I, God, to serve you? Who am I that I can accomplish anything? Well, we are weak, and we can't accomplish anything on our own. But when the Lord is with us, we can accomplish anything. Gideon didn't have the authority to call out an army. But God knew it can happen. God knew what was going to happen. God told Gideon he would be with him. Gideon was given a commission. But better than that, he had a promise of companionship with the Lord himself. And we have that promise today that the Lord is with us. We even have it better. We have the Holy Spirit with us every day of our lives. A power to tap into, to know right from wrong, and to gather strength. Gideon needed to understand who he was, but more importantly, he needed that personal encounter with God. Napoleon soldiers used to say, when Napoleon took our hands and looked us in the eye, we felt like conquerors. And when the Lord turned and looked at Gideon, I have to believe that he felt like a conqueror. All the fear should have been gone. He should have been ready to walk in the name of God. And the same thing for us today. We need to turn. And what's the song say? Look full into the face of God for that reassurance. Now you might be wondering, how do we look into the face of God? Well, you're doing it right here today. We've gathered together in His name to worship together, to praise Him, and to listen. Do you take the time to hear God speak when you're here on a Sunday morning? Do you take time in your homes when you pray to listen to God speak? Do you look around for those signs that God are at work in your life? Or do you see nothing? If you see nothing, it's time to draw closer to Him. We need to sense His presence, to feel His strength and His power. But then God calls us on a private faithfulness before he calls us out into public service. In Judges 6:25 through 27, it says, "Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice, with the wood of the image which we shall cut down.' So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night." Before God could use Gideon publicly, Gideon had to take care of some things in his own house. He needed to clean up some things in his own backyard, and that was pagan worship. The things that had come into his life, into his tribe, into his family that God did not allow. The Lord gave him an assignment to go out and tear down the altar to Baal, to take 2 of the bulls and sacrifice them to him. Now this would have created a hardship, financial, on Gideon's family because they didn't keep a lot of bulls. That was breeding stock. So to take 2 of them and sacrifice was going to take some sacrifice on Gideon's part. And he knew there would be heat, so he didn't do it during the day. He went out at night and tore it down and did his worship. But the message is here, God wants to use us. But before he can use us, we need to look in our backyards, look in our households. What have we brought in from the world that separates us from God? What altars have we built in our house that will not allow us to serve him? Maybe you're not hearing God because you're sacrificing false idols at home. It's time to go home and take a look and see what we have allowed in of the world. You know, we don't have the Midianites to come and raid us, but we have the world out there that comes in and raids us every day over our TV sets and our radios, through the newspapers that weaken our Christian witness, because slowly and slowly we adopt these things into our life that God says shouldn't be there. God's people, Israel, have allowed their lives to be polluted. And I believe the church is weakened today because we have allowed our lives to be polluted. You want to learn how to trust God? Then you need to set aside your own household first. So is there anything you've been holding on to? Is there anything you've been cherishing that you know separates you from God? It's time to let it go. It's time to confess your sins, deal with it, and knock down the altars that you've built in your house. But the good news is God is patient with our progress. Judges 6:33 through 40. "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, then he blew the trumpet. And the Asherites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. And he also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, it is dry on all the ground, and I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew.' And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew all over the ground." Man, I read this and think, how dare he test God? How dare he challenge God? Because he just admitted, as you have said, you will deliver them into my hand. But you see, Gideon was still a little weak. His faith was still a little weak. By now, the Midianites had come up, and they were camping. They were ready to come in and raid and take all the food again and destroy what they couldn't carry. But see, Gideon already taken a huge step of faith when he called these people together. And God was patient with him, just as I hope he's patient with us as we stumble around in our walk with him. The people and the clans were rallying behind Gideon. He had to marvel that 32,000 men showed up to be his army. The Spirit of the Lord was on Gideon. He was obedient. He took care of his affairs at home first. Now God was using him in a public way. The people listened. They gathered together. But Gideon had to check and just make sure that what God said was right. So he did his tests. But we don't need to have tests to see if God's working in our lives. We just need to listen and obey and look at the things that are happening around us. See, God was gracious with Gideon's growing faith. He'll be gracious with you as you walk and you grow stronger in your faith. We have to remember that success is determined by God's power, not by ours. Don't fall into that trap to think that you can make changes on your own. It's God's strength that changes those things in your life. Judges 7, 1 and 2 says, "Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreth in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me.'" Gideon has gathered his men together, 32,000 strong. He's got faith in God. He's been reassured and he's ready to go to battle. He's ready to fight. He's camped close to their army. And God says, "Wait a minute. You have too many men. I do not want you to think it's by your strength that the Midianites were handed over to you." Now, if we look ahead in chapter 8, we know that the Midianites had 135,000 men. So that's 32,000 against 135,000. So it would seem to me that the odds were pretty uneven. But that wasn't what God wanted. God wanted the Israelites to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was his strength. It was his power that brought them through this battle. Same thing for us today. We need to know that it's by God's strength that we get through the battles of this life. Then God does some sifting and tells anyone who is, Scripture says, trembling with fear to go home. God said, anybody's afraid of this fight, pack up now and head home. Well, 22,000 men took off. They didn't want to fight. Now that left Gideon with 10,000 men in his standing army. God said in verse 4, "That's still too many. I want you to know for sure it's my strength and not yours that delivers this day." So he told Gideon, he says, "Take your army down to the water and have them get a drink." Gideon's job was to watch how they drank. Well, 300 men made cups out of their hands and dipped water and drank from their hands. The other 9,700 knelt down and stuck their faces in the water. Now, the commentaries, some of them say that, well, the ones that drank from the water cup from their hands were more aware of their surrounding and more ready for battle. And the other ones that kneeled down and stuck their faces in the water were vulnerable and unprepared for war. Well, I don't care about that. All I know is that God said, "You keep the 300 and you send the other 9,700 home." So Gideon did just that. Now, if my math is right, let's see. That's about 450 to 1. against Gideon. Now God was satisfied. Now God said, now you'll know when you win this battle, it was by my hand that they were delivered to you. There'll be no question that it wasn't your strength. See, God loves to show himself his strength when we're at our weakest. We have our doubts. Luke 18:27, Jesus said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. God really doesn't need us at all to accomplish his purposes. You ever noticed how much he can do with just a few people? How many lives can be changed by just one prophet, just one preacher, just one evangelist? God uses men in mighty ways as long as we're willing to serve him, to trust in him, and to step up and believe that his strength will carry the day. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Gideon was weak. 450-1. That's what we would call insurmountable odds, but not for God. God gives us the assurances we need when we do things his way. Judges 7:9-11 says, it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. After God whittled his army down to 300 men, God understood that maybe Gideon had a little fear. He might have been a bit nervous going up against those odds, so God said, listen here, Gideon, if you're unsure, you sneak down to the camp with one man and you listen. And he heard him talking about a dream where the Midianites were defeated by Gideon. So Gideon was reassured. And they went and fought, and God delivered them into his hands. God is patient with us. You've heard the saying, we're all just humans. Well, we all are just humans. We have those doubts creep in. But we should rise above that because we have the Lord on our side. We have his promises. We have his strength. But still, the doubts, the nervousness creep in. And God recognized that in Gideon. He recognizes that in us today. But we have to be faithful and understand that he will deliver whatever it is we're against into our hands. I am totally certain that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty, that he will take care of us. There are five things that I wrote down that I have assurances of. And this probably ought to go on your refrigerator too to look at every day. I have assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:11-12. I have the assurance of answered prayers. John 16:24. You have the assurance of victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You have an assurance of forgiveness. 1 John 1:19. And assurance of guidance, that's in Proverbs 3:5-6. I stand on these assurances of God because I believe his word is true and I have faith in him, accomplishing everything he sets out to do in my life. I'm not a perfect man. I have doubt creep in. I get nervous sometimes. And God asks me to do things I'm not comfortable with. I've never been comfortable standing up here. I've never been comfortable talking in front of two people. But God gives me what I need every Sunday. And he gives me the words throughout the week that I need to speak. And I'm nothing special. I'm just like Gideon. I'm from the weakest tribe and the youngest of my tribe. But God uses me because I have faith. And God will use you if you have faith. Every one of you here today is a mighty warrior in God's eyes. He sees the power that you could possess. He sees the great things that you can accomplish in His name. If you just rest on the assurances of those promises I just give you. If you understand who you are in the Lord, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God has something. Something for you to do. We're all expected to produce fruit. We're all expected to serve Him in some way and in some manner. If you can't get out of your house, if you're homebound, there's telephones, there's letter writing, there's praying. I believe in the power of prayer. It can change things, and it does. But after all of this, we have to remember to give God the credit, because it's not us. Judges 8:22 and 23. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son, and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hands of the Midian." But Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." After this great battle, the Israelites called on Gideon to be their ruler. But Gideon knew it was about God and not about him. It was about God's strength and not about his. So he declined. Now, Gideon wasn't a perfect man either. He went on and made some mistakes in his life, some great mistakes. As one thing I read, it called it the disappointments of Gideon. But the fact was that God used him. God used him in a mighty way because he was faithful. He was willing to listen. I don't see anyone in here today that's a perfect person. But you're still a mighty warrior in God's eyes. If you do make a mistake, take it to God. Shake it off and move on. God will use you. God will use you to bring light to this dark city. You see, God uses tough times to get our attention. He always sees in us more than we see. He'll confirm His priorities in our life if we just listen. We're willing to serve. The success in our life is determined by God's power and not ours. And be careful to give God the credit, because all the credit's due to Him. Let's all stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, You call on all of us to be servants. You look at us and You see not our weaknesses, our shortcomings, but You see mighty, mighty men and women, warriors for You, Father. Father, my prayer today is just that we listen, that we turn back to You, that we clean up our own backyards, Father. We get rid of those things that separate us from You, that we join together in Your army and allow You to use us in a way to further Your word. Father, I just pray that we all can serve You and give You glory. We can reach out to meet the needs of the lost in this town, Father. As we said, the harvest is great. I just pray for the harvesters. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ask that You will help us to remember the lessons of Gideon and what it is to serve You. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe this message was just a nice story. But don't put it off. Today's the day to give your life to Christ. Maybe you've backslidden a little bit. Your service to God isn't where it should be. Or maybe the doubts have crept in. Your faith is eroding a little. I invite you to come forward to the altar. I'll pray with you, or you could get a deacon, or you can pray by yourself. But go to the Lord. Take your problems to Him. Allow Him to make the changes in your life that need to be made.